Hi, I'm Kristen Bell. Carvana makes car buying easy. Isn't that right, hun? Dax? Dax?
Sorry, did you know about this 7-day money-back guarantee?
A week to evaluate seat comfiness, you say?
A week of terrain tests? Yeah, I can test the brake pad resistance at variable speeds.
Make sure all the kids' stuff fits nicely.
Make sure our stuff fits nicely.
Oh, the...
Right. Still need to buy the car. Getting ahead of ourselves here.
Buy your car with Carvana today.
Welcome into Texans On Tap. I'm Brandon Strange with Charlie Pullo and Josh Jordan. Follow them on X at Pullo and at JoshJordan975 and read their work on sportsmap.com. A game whose primary patrons were comprised of empty seats and raindrops, Texans take care of business in the regular season finale 23-14 over the Titans, in a game that really even wasn't that close if we're honest about it. We're going to talk about this game. Guys, we talked about this being more of a preseason game, having a preseason feel to it, and that's exactly how it played out with CJ and Mixon and company sitting out after that first drive. But it started off with that great drive by CJ. That's really what they were looking for. CJ goes 6 for 6 with a touchdown. Nico and Mixon both snag their 1,000-yard benchmarks for the season. This was mostly a meaningless game, as we talked about, but you really feel like the Texans needed to assert themselves, especially on offense and especially against a lowly Titans team, given how Houston has looked over the past few weeks and considering Houston did not want to get swept by the Titans. What did you guys see from CJ and the offense? And do you think there was real value in seeing a successful, crisp drive to open that game?
I see no value of a spider devouring a pathetic little fly. So I don't forget, as we move along, I'd like to congratulate the Titans franchise on successfully channeling and playing dress up as the Houston Oilers, the 1994 Houston Oilers, securing the worst record in the NFL. The 94 Oilers actually didn't get the first pick in the 95 draft because Carolina and Jacksonville, the incoming expansion teams, were given the first two picks. But with the Patriots beating the Bills and another who cares special, other than furious Patriots fans, what do you mean we won the game? The Titans, in a season of royal screw-ups, came up with the number one pick in the draft by losing to the Texans. Good for them. The drive means nothing. Had it been terrible and Stroud thrown an interception on the first play, it would have been, oh boy, but that would have meant nothing either. You mentioned the milestones, that which they are, in a 17-game schedule, watered down, but Mixon, 1,000-yard back, Nico Collins, second consecutive year, 1,000-yard receiver, but they were beating up the helpless, so it just means nothing. I mean, the Texans were excellent this season, save the Jets debacle, and the first Titans game debacle. But the Texans made their 10-7 record off beating garbage teams, so that they beat one in the last game of the season to match last season's regular season record. They do win another division championship, but that was taken care of before today. That's the most I can muster for the meaning of the drive or the win.
It was good to see, I guess, glass half full. It's good to see CJ could still be accurate, make some throws. Nice to see Nico get involved, Mixon break off a few runs. But yeah, I mean, it's, you can't put too much stock in that, but at least the worst thing didn't happen where they went out there and they looked terrible or CJ took a big hit or something like that. What did kind of surprise me was how long a lot of the starters were in this game. Like the offensive linemen were in a long time. Even the broadcast team was like, wow, Tunsil's still out there. You wonder if they're going to make a change. And then they pulled Tunsil, but then they still left a lot of other key contributors in there. So that surprised me a little bit. It seems like they got out of this healthy, so no big deal there. But I was also looking, Lassiter was in for a while. Bullock was in for a long time in this game. I was getting a little concerned, like, this guy's a starter. We need to be careful. And they've taken so many hits at nickel corner and safety this year. I didn't want to see anything happen to Lassiter or Bullock. But, it was fun to watch. Offense, at least they showed you something even against a bad team. So we know it's all about next week now. That's where the focus is.
It's just a reality of the NFL. It's not just a Texans thing. It was all over the league in week 18. You only dress 53 guys. Right, a punter, kicker, a long snapper. So you have 50 guys, 22 positions, but that's counting either two wide receivers and two backs or three wide receivers and a back. So you just don't have backups to play for everybody. I mean, teams generally dress 8 offensive linemen for a game, 9 max, maybe 7 defensive linemen. 7 defensive backs, maybe 8. So, you know, some starters were going to have to play a little bit more than you'd like from a health standpoint. But as you guys both touched upon, they emerge unscathed. So that's the win of the day that counts.
I was surprised, going back to Josh's point, that Collins was in for as long as he was as well, being into that second drive. And then you talked about people not getting hurt. Thankfully, Mechie was okay after taking that big hit that got flagged. Do you guys think that maybe Pierce earned himself some additional reps in the playoffs based on the monster performance on Sunday?
I don't think so. In 92-yard run, where once he clears the line of scrimmage, all he had to show was that he wasn't going to pass out before covering the 92 yards, and I had faith in him there. You know, if it's a little bit redemptive, very limited role, but Dameon Pierce's third year certainly was more productive than his second season in the NFL following a very promising rookie season. But Joe Mixon is the man. He's the featured back, and Pierce and Ogunbowale get the scraps.
Yeah, it wouldn't be Davis Mills if he didn't throw a couple of hospital balls today, almost getting Mechie killed. Face planting himself basically on the goal line. That looked terrible. That is so on brand for Davis Mills there for sure. But I thought Pierce looked good, but they just don't seem to use him that much when they have a healthy Mixon. Maybe they should to keep Mixon a little more fresh, but we're only talking an extra couple carries there. It was nice to see Laremy Tunsil with 2 more false starts in this game, showing that he's being consistent as well. So very on brand for Laremy today.
He'd actually cleaned it up a bit in recent weeks, but I guess he decided he wanted to bring his season full circle. So it's at least 17 penalties.
Yeah.
Maybe he has a hidden incentive bonus. Anything he leads the league in, he gets more money than he's already making. But that certainly was head shaking because it was not a decibel impressive crowd, if you can even call it a crowd, those who showed up in Nashville to pay tribute to that Titans team.
They were definitely excited about those Oilers unis with all of that rich Oiler history in Tennessee. Charlie, Josh brought it up, but what did you think of Davis Mills lawn darting himself on the 2-yard line trying to scramble for that touchdown?
It's some jokes write themselves. Nothing's ever going to touch the butt fumble, I don't think. Mark Sanchez a few years ago. So if Davis Mills was thinking, hey, Orlovsky running out of the end zone. So, you know, if Davis Mills was thinking, hey, I could have a shot at the bronze medal, but silly stuff happens. At least he wasn't hurt.
Yeah, that's the important part there. And hopefully Mechie's okay. I was hoping to see a little more Diontae Johnson. I think he only had a couple catches today. I was really glad that Diontae Johnson wasn't crushed going to the ground because it seems like the Texans are going to have to rely on him a little bit. And you could see him moving. He's good at creating space. And Mills almost had him, but he kind of threw it behind him. I think that might have been a touchdown earlier in the game, but that's a big piece right there that I hope he can contribute a little bit because they haven't used Schultz as much as I thought they would this year. And we know Hutchinson and Mechie just, they don't get the ball very much. I don't think they're open all that much. So Johnson, maybe he gives them just a little extra spark in the offense, especially if they double Nico Collins and CJ needs somebody else to throw to.
Yeah, the Mills play was very Rosencopter-esque, and if you're too young to remember that, good for you. Except for one play in garbage time where Levis throws up a ball that should have been intercepted that gets caught by Tay Martin. What did you guys think of the defense that we saw from D'Amico and his guys today? I mean, again, a meaningless game against a bad team, but seemed to take care of business.
Yeah, Kalen Bullock had a shot at sole possession of the team interception title. On the ball he couldn't quite secure, so he finishes tied with Stingley at 5 apiece. An up and down season for Bullock. You know, interceptions are the ooh stat, but he was part of the back end that got beaten deep much too often this season. I think Kamari Lassiter's clearly the Texans' rookie of the year. The burden that comes with being a cover corner, zone or man, relative to safety. And again, it was Will Levis. You know, they denied Tony Pollard, I think, from getting to 1,100 yards for his bonus. I mean, the Titans finished 3-14. So you're supposed to look good against them, as opposed to giving up 32 points and losing to them at home the first time around.
Yeah, I thought Azeez Al-Shaair being back out there was a good thing. He played quite a bit in this game. I think D'Amico was like, let's kind of get him back in the swing of things since he's been suspended for a few games and hadn't seen any game action. So I think that could be a positive for the Texans that at least he got to play a little bit before he has to go into a playoff game where you're really going to lean on him. But yeah, I thought the defense looked pretty good. Lassiter was banged up this week. It wasn't, you know, for sure that he was going to play. So that tells me that he must be feeling pretty good if he was going to go out and play, even though he was dinged up a little bit in a, you know, a meaningless game.
The broadcast made a point of bringing up the Alshire incident just because Alshire has kind of gone out of his way post-apology to try to repair his public image. What did you guys make of Alshire's comments and the way it was kind of positioned on TV?
Full disclosure, I didn't hear what the network guys were saying at the time. I was not paying attention to what they had to say. You know, they had 3 hours of time to fill, so it was certainly a talking point they could mix in. Alshire, I think, has frankly come across as a little too strident, and they were trying to besmirch my reputation. Godfather Part Two, you know, would they say good things about me with the same vigor they besmirched my reputation? Those who went over the top, obviously the losers who took it into sort of any racial or religious direction. Losers are going to be losers, but Alshire, frankly, downplayed, the Texans downplayed the fact that he has a track record of illegal slash dirty slash cheap shot, however you want to define him, hits. And that factored into the 3-game suspension. And that's that. It's over. He's learned from it. I did like the statement. He's had multiple statements, but the one where he said, "I lost control," that sums it up. He lost control. His behavior was completely unacceptable. Beyond the hit, carrying on the field and needing to be led out of in the corner there in Jacksonville. What's done is done. Presumably, Trevor Lawrence will be all right going forward. And, you know, elephant's memories for some, live and let live for others.
I thought the interesting part of what they discussed with Alshire was how he felt even more committed to the Texans team in that locker room in the front office because they came out and defended him so hard. So that maybe that is something that kind of moving forward, that's a good thing, that he feels like this is a good organization. They stuck up for their players. Other players see that kind of stuff. So I don't think that's bad. And I also wanted to mention Derek Barnett, heck of a game for him today with the touchdown and the sack. And he's been a really nice kind of under the radar signing. I remember when the news came out that they were going to bring him back, I was really excited. And I was kind of questioning myself, like, Josh, why are you so excited about Derek Barnett coming back? He's not really a starter, but he's a really good role player. And you know, as Charlie mentioned, Will Anderson doesn't play as many snaps as a lot of other pass rushers in this league. So he's a good piece to have to kind of keep rotating guys in. And he didn't cost you a fortune either. So that was a good pickup. Good job by Caserio bringing him back.
I think that ties into the next question, which is, who's your MVP of the game? Charlie, we start with you.
92-yard touchdown run. I'll give it to Pierce.
I'll stick right where I am, Brandon. I'll give it to Barnett. Man, everybody likes to see a big guy score.
Yeah, I think it was entertaining. I liked that the scoop and score play and kind of how he just bulldozed himself down to the end zone. That was pretty cool. And I think that basically put the game away, put it on ice. But before we get to the playoffs, it's always worth looking back and taking inventory of the season. So let's do that here just real quick. Give me your grades on the Houston Texans 2024 regular season.
Well, self-gratuitously noting, well, did pick them to finish 10-7. They finished 10-7, so shouldn't clobber them because I didn't think they were going to be a bad team. Overall, a tougher schedule as a division champion as opposed to a last place schedule the season prior. But I'm going B- because they're 10-7 on the strength of the weakness of the division. Right? 5-1 against AFC South scrubland, 1-5 against playoff teams. Did the team improve as the season went along? No. They were 5-1. They were 6-2. And they finish 10-7. Are they more likely or as likely to win the wild card round? As we know, they did win the wild card round over Cleveland last season. At this point, I would say no. But as a regular season only proposition, I'll go B- because while I have and will continue to poke fun at the cute little AFC South Division Championship banners, you know, the best of a week 4-team division, and if you never get beyond the divisional round, law of diminishing returns of the value of an AFC South crown. But it's not meaningless. It does get you into the postseason, and they're back in it. So B-.
I'm in that same ballpark. I'll go C+ to be a little different. The offense took a step back this year. You can't get around that. And that we were all hoping they would take the next step. You had Stephon Diggs, and And that never really happened this year. Now, they did have to deal with injuries. Nico missed, what, 5 weeks? And then Diggs went down with the ACL, and you lost Tank. But they weren't really using Tank Dell that much when he was healthy. So, you know, just not really happy with how the offense performed. I think one of the other things is they kind of took a hit to their reputation, where every time they were on a national game, they pretty much laid an egg. And that's why you have so many people like Mike Greenberg going like, oh, I wish, you know, any other team would take the Texans spot in the playoffs. You see so many people say stuff like that just because what the national audience has seen from the Texans this year has not been good, whether it's the Jets debacle or the 5 picks and losing to the Lions or getting wiped out by the Vikings. And there's just been a lot of games where they haven't lived up to it, capping it off with Christmas with Beyonce and just getting destroyed by the Ravens at home. You know, the losing to the Titans. There were just a lot of opportunities that they weren't able to capitalize on. But this is just a regular season award. If they can win a playoff game, then I'm going to have a different grade for them for the totality of the season.
To the Greenbergs and other whiners of the world, any other team, frankly, I would submit there's one candidate that you might say, oh, I'd rather see them than the Texans in the playoffs if you're just a football fan. And that would be the Bengals because of Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase and an offense that's just potent and exciting. But everyone knows the rules of engagement. The Bengals finished 9-8. 7 of those losses to playoff teams. Yeah, well, they lost the opening day at New England. And in hindsight, that's why the Bengals are not in the playoffs. So like it or lump it, Greeny and anyone else bemoaning the Texans being in the playoffs. Unless you want to go to conferences and not divisions, this is how it works.
Yeah, I'm in the same neighborhood, B-minus, C-plus. Josh, you touched on it. Offensive coaching was less than effective and less than ideal. How much of that was personnel? Well, that also goes into the grade because you have to have the guys on the field to be effective. Credit for winning back-to-back 10-win seasons. I think that puts my grade over the top. So I do settle at a B-minus with a tougher schedule. Still getting to 10 wins is definitely an accomplishment. So hats off to D'Amico and his crew. But to both of your points, you're going to have to aspire for higher if you're going to want to get deeper in the playoffs. That's going to be it for this episode of Texans on Tap. Thanks to everyone for watching this season. There are so many options out there, whether it's TV or YouTube, and we appreciate everyone who's come in and consumed the content all season and subscribed to the channel. We really do appreciate it. Just a reminder that the three of us also host an Astros podcast called Stone Cold Strohs over on our other YouTube channel, Sports at Houston, and we'll have a new episode on Monday and every Monday for the foreseeable future, we hope. And as for this show, we hope you come back here on Thursday for the playoff preview. Until then, we'll see you next time. Go Texans.